Jesus and Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said. "Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost."
Lord, we thank you for these offerings and tithes today. We just pray that you bless it to your kingdom, that they'll be used to enhance your love, that they will show people how much you love them. We pray this in your name. Amen. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to revisit the mission statements, Living on Mission. For those of us that might not be aware, we're going to look at creating faith pathways, caring for people, building healthy communities, working for justice. Now, all of these are things that I believe that God calls us to do as disciples of Christ. And as a church, Dom and I want to explore how these statements can not only impact you and the life that you are living, whether it's retired, working or holidaying, but we also want to explore how these statements can impact Gungahlin and the local community. Because there is a reason we exist. We are a church that wants to reach people, that want to see Jesus, who want to see more and more people saved and living a transformational life. And I believe that our mission statements can help us do this. You with me? So today we start our series off by looking at creating faith pathways. Now, I believe there are plenty of stories within the Bible of people coming to faith, whether it's by Jesus or a disciple or a follower of Christ. However, I couldn't help look past the story of Zacchaeus. Always want to pronounce it a different way for some reason. Not sure what my brain's doing. See, Zacchaeus walked with God. Walked with God is one of the most amazing conversion stories in the New Testament. This is actually the second conversion that has taken place in Jericho on the same day. Did anyone else know that? Because I didn't. At the end of the 18th chapter, we find Jesus approaching Jericho when a blind beggar named Bartimaeus hears the commotion of the crowd. He's told that Jesus is coming down the road and begins to cry out at the top of his lungs, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, you know how the story goes. Jesus stops and heals the man, who then gets up and joyfully follows Jesus. So that's the first. Jesus continues his trip through town. On the other side of town is a man named Zacchaeus, who also hears the commotion of the crowd, is told that Jesus is coming down the road and wants to see Jesus. But because he is short of stature, a wee little man, he can't see over the crowd, so he climbs a sycamore fig tree to catch a view of the most famous man in Israel. Well, you know the story. Jesus stops, calls Zacchaeus down from the tree and invites himself to dinner at the man's house. Zacchaeus is saved and becomes a new creation in Christ, as evidenced by his repentance from greed and his restitution to those he has cheated, which was about everyone who paid taxes. At the end of the encounter, Jesus announces his purpose is coming to the lost sheep of Israel. for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Luke 19:10. Do you see what's going on? Within just minutes, Jesus reveals that the gospel is for the down and out, as well as the up and in, and everyone in between. Both of these men were sinners, and both needed the redemptive healing of Jesus in their lives. One needed blindness taken from his eyes so that he could see Jesus, and the other needed blindness taken from his soul so that he could see Jesus. Both needed forgiveness. Both needed a miracle in their life. Both needed Jesus to stop and touch their lives in some way. Through these stories, we realise that faith pathways are so important, and actually, as today's disciples of Christ, we have a responsibility to make them happen wherever we are. So how does the story of Zacchaeus help us realise that faith pathways are important? I want to start by looking at who Zacchaeus was and his desire to meet Jesus, even though everyone around him thought there would be no way he would want to meet Jesus at all. See, the story of Zacchaeus appears only in the Gospel of Luke. It's a short account, only 10 verses. But in those 10 verses, we learn much about the life and character of Zacchaeus. Verse 2 tells us almost everything we need to know about Zacchaeus. He's a wealthy Jewish tax collector who speaks volumes about his life. The name Zacchaeus means righteous one. What a name for a tax collector. I'm sure the residents of Jericho saw the irony in that. Zacchaeus was considered anything but righteous. By his fellow Jews, the Jewish population of Israel would have certainly considered Zacchaeus a sinner. It's easy to understand why tax collectors were hated and considered sinful. Zacchaeus would have been deeply involved in all the corruption that was a tax collector. Was known for which made him exceedingly wealthy. He may have been the wealthiest man Jesus ever met. He would have been in the 1% of the 1%ers of his era. His lifestyle would have been something that people wanted. The trade-off is that Zacchaeus would have been considered unclean in Jewish culture. He would have been ostracized from Jewish society. He would have been barred from the local synagogue and from the temple in Jerusalem. About the only people he could associate with would have been fellow tax collectors. As you can tell, I haven't done this for a while, so please bear with me. I wonder today, do you know anyone that is like Zacchaeus? Someone that no one wants to spend any time with. However, deep inside that person, they're actually a seeker. They want to know Jesus. They want to know the truth. But because of who they are, no one will spend time to help them on their journey towards faith and creating a faith pathway for them. See, Luke 19:3-4 says, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Zacchaeus wanted to meet Jesus, or at least catch a glimpse of him, but he has a problem. He's too short to see Jesus over the crowd. In a day when the typical Jewish male was only 5.1 tall, that's saying something. He certainly was a wee little man. Considering who he was, my guess is that his Jewish neighbours were none too cooperative, doing their best to keep Zacchaeus to the back of the crowd. I wonder, as you look at your life and the people that you interact with, are you sometimes like that Jewish neighbour? Have you got things in your life that might cause roadblocks for people coming to faith? I've always said there is no way that I'm putting a fish sticker on the back of my car. In no way my driving ability brings out Jesus. And Dom agrees with me. As a follower, the disciples of Christ, we need to keep ourselves in check and make sure that we are opened and ready for people that we might come across who are seekers. See, virtually all commentaries agree that in that culture, Zacchaeus paid an enormous price when he climbed that tree, because that's something a child would do, but not an adult. It gives an indication of how desperate he was to meet Jesus. We live in a culture that is becoming even more circular. It's a culture where we're told mature intellectual people simply do not believe in the supernatural. In a in our society, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to believe the Lord of the universe broke into this world and was born in a manger and defeated the powers of evil and death and rose triumphantly over the grave, if you believe that, well, you're just intellectually stunted. You're not considered an enlightened, mature adult. You're clinging to your guns and religion. You're considered a child. You've climbed a tree. You look silly. You look undignified. What do we say to a culture that uses a roadblock by saying you still believe in Christianity? Then you're just a child? Jesus' answer can be found in Matthew 18, 3-4, and it says, "And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." We need to be careful that not only do we not place roadblocks for other people to come and know Jesus, but we also need to be careful that we are not getting stopped to share our faith by roadblocks. When Jesus reached that spot, he looks up and says to Zacchaeus, "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He had gone to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus is determined to see Jesus, but Jesus is even more determined to see Zacchaeus. The seeker now becomes the sought. In fact, the very reason that Zacchaeus is looking for Jesus is because Jesus is looking for him, though he doesn't know it yet. Now, I have no biblical evidence of what I'm about to say, but I think it's in the realm of possibilities. As Jesus and his disciples are going down through the thoroughfare of Jericho, I think Matthew, who himself had been a tax collector, spots Zacchaeus up in the tree and tells Jesus, "I know this man. You've got to stop and talk to him." When Jesus gets to the tree that Zacchaeus has climbed, he looks up and calls for Zacchaeus to come down and to do so immediately, and he comes down and welcomes Jesus gladly. What Zacchaeus comes to understand is that he is one of the lost that Jesus has come to seek and save. The crowd's reaction is one of utter shock that Jesus would choose to enter Zacchaeus' home and dine with him. It says that the crowd grumbled. It's a word that means intense displeasure. Zacchaeus is not the man Jericho would want representing them before Jesus. No self-respecting Jew would be caught dead with Zacchaeus. And yet Jesus invites himself to the man's home. The crowd's shock allows Jesus to make the point about the nature of his mission, that the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Zacchaeus is the rich man who gets through the eye of the needle, because nothing is impossible with God. Remember the story? A rich certain ruler, a man with great wealth, has come to Jesus and asked him to get to heaven. Jesus asks, "Have you obeyed the 10 commandments?" The man says he has. Jesus then tells him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But the man went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replies, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." What a concise that Jesus coincidence that Jesus would say that just days before one of the wealthiest men in Israel commits his life to Jesus. With all men, it is impossible to save themselves. Whether you're the down and out like Barnabas or the up and in like Zacchaeus, you can't save yourself. You need to have an encounter with the man called Jesus, who is the risen Christ, the Son of the living God. That is what the Salvation Army is calling people to act upon, not just on a Sunday, but every day, creating faith pathways so that people can have an encounter with God. See, no one is too bad to be saved or beyond the power of God's grace to reach. In the eyes of this fellow Jew, Zacchaeus was simply irredeemable. He's a traitor to his country and his race. He's a crook and a cheat. He's beyond God's grace, but he isn't. Christ is able to save to the utmost. We need to offer the gospel boldly to everyone. Many of you would recognise the name William Booth. He was a British Methodist preacher who found the Salvation Army, this church, and became its first general. One Sunday evening, William Booth was walking in London with his son Bramwell, who was then 12 or 13 years old. Booth surprised his son by taking him to the pub. The place was crowded with men and women. Some of them were drunk, some of them were loud. The air was filled with the smell of alcohol and tobacco. After a few minutes, Bramwell said to his dad, "Can we go now? Why did you bring me here?" William Booth said, "Son, these are our people. These are the ones I want you to love. These are the people I want you to live for. These are the people I want you to bring to Christ." Years later, Bramwell wrote, "That was a lesson I will never forget." It's a lesson still worthy learning today, and it's one of the lessons we learn from Jesus here in this story. Those that society rejects, the church should welcome. We see here a picture of Christ's compassion towards sinners and his power to change human hearts. No one is beyond the reach of God's grace. We cannot emphasize too strongly that Jesus stands ready to save those who are ready to receive him. As a church, we just need to be out there listening to what God has in store. Being passionate about being a Christian and a light that will shine through the darkness. I believe we will make a difference in this world. Now, I don't believe that it has to be anything we do. We don't have to put on an event every week. It is about being opened, authentic, and living a life that shines Jesus, so people will see that we are not like everyone else. I believe by being these people, we can create our own faith pathways, and more people will want to know Jesus. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." During the 18th century, George Whitefield was one of the greatest preachers of America and England. He constantly preached on salvation and the need to be born again. One day a friend asked him, "Pastor Whitfield, why do you preach so often on the text, 'You must be born again'?" Whitfield looked at the man and simply replied, "Because you must be born again." Our leaders are calling us to be leaders and Christians that have a passion to see people come to know Christ. Not to sit on a seat on Sunday, but to live a life that reflects Jesus every day, so that more and more people will come to know him, whether it be a small, rich person or a person that is down on their luck and haven't got anything at all. Let's be a church that creates faith pathways, no matter where we go. Who are passionate about seeing everyone come to know Christ and are willing to shine no matter where they are. Let's be a church that has no walls. Let's pray. We have a call to be loved and to love, to be shown mercy and to show mercy, to be forgiven and to forgive, to receive hope and to offer hope, to know joy and to share joy, to find peace and bring peace, to be made whole and offer wholeness. We have a call. Listen. Listen. Do you hear? Lord, you have a wonderful plan for all. And today, as we have worshipped, listened, and met with people that we know and those that we have only just met, we ask that you speak. Give us open ears, hearts, and minds so that people that we come across in our day-to-day lives will be aware that you are our loving Father, a person that walks with us no matter what. Lord, talk to us so that we make pathways that are open for people to follow and to come to know you. Help us not get stuck on roadblocks or be roadblocks, but instead be willing to walk with people. Help this church to shine your light, no matter how old or young we are. We pray this in your name. Amen. May God the Father prepare your journey. Jesus the Son guide your footsteps. The Spirit of life strengthen your body. The three in one watch over you on every road that you may follow. Amen. Have a great week.